Hey, this is Brandon and Jonathan. We got a good show for you today.
Hey, 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 welcome back again. This is your host, Jonathan Hayashi, and the co-host,
Brandon Boatner.
The Ordinary Radical Podcast is on discipleship and biblical living, featuring conversation Q&As concerning a wide variety of topics to help you grow as disciples through the local church in leadership, discipleship, and mission. It's been a while, hasn't it?
It has been a while. There's been a lot of transition and a lot of stuff going on. What's been going on with you, man?
Yeah, man, I just got out of 14-day quarantine. I just got back in the office a couple days ago, and yeah, you know, if you didn't know, I was on an international adoption trip. That's the reason we didn't have really a podcast episode available for July. So hopefully we'll cover another one pretty soon. But we brought back our son from orphanage.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So we're super excited. Praise be to God. Thank you for your prayers. And just a lot of change. Yeah. What about you?
Lots of changes in my world as well. A couple weeks ago was my last day at the church I was serving, and I was there for 10 years.
Wow.
So,
faithful endurance.
Anytime you can do something like that, that's a victory, right? And man, we were crying and all that good stuff you would expect. But now I'm full running towards our church plant Remix in St. Louis, Missouri.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
You know, somebody came up to me and says, "Oh, Jonathan, this is going to be the year to be remembered with COVID going on, and then you're doing your adoption, bringing your son back." And I was like, "Oh man, you only know half of what's going on."
Yeah.
So for me too, I actually just accepted a senior pastor position in the Kansas City area, Missouri. And so you and I are going to actually be the opposite spectrum. You're St. Louis on the east,
yeah,
and I'll be in Kansas City on the west.
So we got it covered, is what you're saying.
Yeah, we got it covered, the whole Missouri, or misery, as you say, some of us. No. So yeah, it's a huge transition. You know, the house is on the market, we're hoping to sell, and then, you know, we're going to buy a new home and moving our whole family there. And it's an exciting time. We're eager to move there and, you know, start this new season of just really shepherding a flock of people that they're waiting for the call that we're going.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we decided what do we want to talk about on this podcast, we had a topic that just popped up, and it came from Jonathan, but it was, you know, since we have so much transition, what would we have liked to have known going into ministry, going into our roles? Maybe some of you are also going into new roles, and or you have transitions going on. Like, what bits of information would have been helpful to be better stewards of our time, to be better pastors? So that's what we're talking about today.
Yeah, so, you know, just I'm thinking really the topic is this, is what did you wish you learned? Or what are some tips you learned on the way as becoming a pastor? Mm-hmm. Or what are maybe some things you wish you learned in seminary that you didn't learn, or maybe in Bible college?
Mm-hmm.
So we got a list of things here that we have that we want to just run through.
So we're going to jump into this first one. So this first one, this was something I was actually told, and it became huge. So big shout out to Stephen. If you're listening, Stephen in Texas, big shout out. But he told me when I was going into this ministry, "Hey, Brandon, focus on relationships over a sermon, over a lesson." Mm. Relationships matter. Why do they matter, Jonathan?
Yeah, I think there's a saying that says people really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really true. I mean, you know, I just look back even, you know, in seminary, you know, all our training was really homiletics, which is really, you know, biblical exposition, how to deliver a sermon, how to exegete, how to, you know, do discipleship and evangelism and so forth. All those are very important, biblical hermeneutics and how to do systematic theology and so forth. I'm so grateful unto the Lord in my time in Bible college and seminary. But when reality hits and you go into the, you know, where the rubber hits the road, you're in ministry, at the end of the day, it's relationship. And people really want to know if my pastor cares. And that's where people say, "Oh, my pastor, he was a shepherd."
Yeah. And I sat in a group yesterday with a guy, and someone had asked that guy, he said, "Well, what's your degree in?" And we're all pastors. "Where did you go to school?" And he said, "You know, I didn't go to school." And he felt like that was a little bit down. Mm-hmm. Like, I know all you guys have these degrees. Mm-hmm. But guys, we're here to tell you, overall, degrees don't matter. overall, they don't matter as much as how much you love someone. And in fact, with that guy specifically, someone at the table told us, he said, this man was just amazing during some marital struggles with me and my wife, and he led us through that season. And so he kind of lifted him up because, you know, that's true, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think over the last decade or so being, you know, in ministry and being ordained to the gospel ministry and now taking a senior pastor position, I've learned early on in ministry is that people need to feel my care and know before they hear my message. Mm-hmm. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
And I, over and over again, I'm just reminded 1 Timothy 3, 1 Peter 5, the pastor epistles, the qualification of an elder, it doesn't say thou shalt have a seminary degree or mm-hmm. need a doctor. And you and I, you know, you're Dr. Brandon Boldner. You have quite an education on your belt. And I myself just, you know, really handed my full dissertation. I'm now waiting in my oral defense. And we don't disregard and belittle seminaries. I'm like, sure, if you want to study, it's great to go seminaries, go all in. But I'm reminded that if people really don't care how many degrees you have.
Mm-hmm.
They just really want to know, does he love me? Does he shepherd me? Does he counsel me? Does he listen to me?
Right? Yeah. So some of those skills that you're building into relationships, does he listen? You said that. And listening is we're taught how to talk as preachers and not taught how to listen. But that's a huge part of our job. It's mm-hmm. just listening. Learning how to counsel. Listening mm-hmm. builds into that counseling. My seminary time, at least my master's level, was all counseling. I didn't have a lot of theology classes. And I'm so thankful for that counseling time because I use it every day. I feel like I use it every single day. So that's awesome, man.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just reminded too, like, you know, as much as we love theology, I hope you hear just our love for God's word, love for doctrine and orthodoxy. But over and over, I hear stories of, you know, horror stories of other church splits, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm reminded it's rarely a theological issue.
No.
Most of the time, church split happens over the color of a carpet.
Right.
And or people have issues and they can't deal with it, right? And this person said this person did that, and this issue of personal relationship. And don't hear me wrong, theology matters. It really, doctrine matters. But I just realized the flock doesn't care about theology as much as I did
mm-hmm.
in seminary and studying all these important doctrines that really flow in every bit in the fiber of a ministry. But again, it's relationship, it's people, and we need to love them, and that's a shepherd. That's almost kind of like leadership too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're a leader and you don't have followers, then you can't be a leader, right? And it's a shepherd and the flock. And if you don't have the flock,
right,
you know, because of this relationship of build one another. I mean, Jesus himself, right? I mean, he did earthly ministry. People followed him. And Jesus loved on the people. And yeah, I'm reminded
and
of that.
I think the shepherd model, the shepherd imagery you just gave is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Because a shepherd has to know his sheep. Mm-hmm. Right. If you talk to a shepherd and he says, you know, I got 100 head of sheep,
mm-hmm.
They graze in this, and all he has is these numbers, but he doesn't know this one's pregnant. He doesn't know these things that we learn whenever we are in close relationship. Mm-hmm. That shepherd's going to be an awful shepherd. But how often do we focus on numbers instead of people?
Yeah.
I'm going to tie to that what we're talking about. Whenever I left my church, there was tears and there was pain.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things they don't tell you, pastor, is if you love a church, if you do your ministry well, it hurts to move on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good hurt, but it hurts because they become your family.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of leads us into point two a little bit. Let's talk about family. How about just your wife first? Your fam mm-hmm. family should be first, and then ministry. But let's go into that a little bit.
You know, I've heard this over and over and over again. You know, people saying, Jonathan, you need to have God first, and then family, and then the ministry of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so important. I mean, this is the truth of the reality. I think as I got into, you know, church position, at the end of the day, the church really doesn't need me.
Right.
As much as I want to believe I'm needed, I'm so important. And maybe the church will even agree, oh, we cannot possibly lose you. Mm-hmm. The church really doesn't need me. And my position, I will always have a position somewhere.
Yeah.
But my wife, I cannot get a second chance with her.
Amen. Yeah.
And that's the thing. I realized I was at one point early in ministry, I was forsaking, for the sake of ministry, I was forsaking my family, which was really forsaking my ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Because every yes to ministry is no to your family. Does it make sense?
Sure.
So if you say yes to your family, at times you're saying no to ministry. So I was just reminded of that as I was officiating a wedding recently. And, you know, I was like, you know, richness or health, or, you know, or rich or poor. You know, I didn't say that to ministry or church, mm-hmm. right? But I did tell to my wife that I'm going to be there. I'm not going to forsake you, as Christ is not. And that really came in reality in my life for me. Just, okay, I need to love my wife no matter what. And she's my first, foremost priority.
Yeah. And a shout out to Matthew listening in South St. Louis. Matthew had told me this. He said, what are you going through right now? And I said, you know, it's been a few weeks since I left the church. I'm kind of at a little lull in my ministry. He said, well, what's God showing you? And I sat and thought about it. You know, all the times that I've been wrestling with my kids now, we're playing basketball. It reminded me of how much my family needs their dad. They need me present, and how much I need them, right? My life could not exist without them in the way that it does. So yeah, that's just a really good word. Yeah, definitely. By the way, if you can't tell, as we talk, I'm thinking of people who have given me lots of great information through the years. So we're always learning. Mm-hmm. Jonathan and I are always learning. But that brings us to number three here. We're moving pretty good. Number three. It's all about communication. We need to assume less and really tell people our expectations when it comes to ministry.
Yeah, I think, you know, just over-communicating is just important. It's a simple thing, and casting a vision. You know, I heard a Japanese proverb says, vision without action is daydreaming.
Mm.
But with the action without a vision is a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just the reality is just showing that, you know, you need to constantly cast your vision. And, you know, Proverbs says as well, right? Vision, where there's no vision, the people perish.
Right, definitely.
And that's where, you know, we need to over-communicate, especially with our leadership, maybe staff, depending on the size of your church, constantly communicate, keep people in the loop, and know, and transparency there as well, authenticity with working with relationship, which kind of goes to the first point as well. But it is a leadership reality that we need to just be reminded, communicate with your people.
Definitely. You reminded me of some proverbs and some wisdom. I reminded you of a proverb, maybe you've heard this one, never play leapfrog with a unicorn.
Oh, wow. What is that?
You've never heard that one before?
No, what is it?
Leapfrog's a game that we have where you jump over, a kid jumps over another kid.
Yeah.
You should never do that with a unicorn.
Oh, yeah, definitely not.
Because they'll get you.
Oh.
I just wanted to show that I knew some ancient wisdom as well, you know.
Yeah.
As we talk about communicating.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're also talking about here in this idea of communicating is just, you need to build your leadership skills, mm-hmm. right? Learning how to disciple and things like that. We're big on discipleship. Also learning how to delegate, mm-hmm. learning how to tell people what you expect. These are just leadership skills that you want to build going into a role. But a lot of us, we actually are learning the leadership skills in that role. And that's sort of a detriment to them, you know? So you want to learn those ahead of time.
Yep. The following point, actually is point four, it's so simple, but how I as a pastor need to pray more. Okay. I think like when you're in Bible college and seminary, you know, you pray, you learn about the structure of supplication and so forth. But I think, you know, just so you know, ministry is tough. Mm-hmm. Ministry is not for the lighthearted.
Mm-hmm.
And we ought to expect that. I mean, Jesus was given you know, thorn of crown. Why do we think we would be given a thorn of roses, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we, this is part of the cross being cruciform, shaped in the image of God. But, you know, I think in those moments, we really pray. You know, we ask the Lord to help us. And it becomes every fiber, your cell, your DNA of who you are. As you pray, as you look to the Lord for strength and casting your anxiety onto Him. 1 Peter 5 says that, right? Mm-hmm. For leaders. But in order for you to really begin to grow as a leader and grow your, as a church, and not just numbers, attendance, I'm not speaking of that church growth mentality, but in a healthy way that your church grows, more biblically sound, theologically rigorous, scripturally grounded, I think prayer becomes the really your bedrock anchor in everything you do.
Absolutely. And I want to tie to that something. I'm giving out shout outs today. I hope that's okay, Jonathan.
No, that's great.
Raiden Hollis from Illinois, he gave me this bit of information. He said, with pray more, he said also be still more. Mm-hmm. And what he meant by that was you just need to go to Panera or go to Bread Company or whatever your spot is. You just need to sit there for an hour and just talk to God and have nothing on your plate that you have to do. Mm-hmm. He said oftentimes in those moments, God will give you the most revelation, the most ideas. And it's because you've opened up a time for God. What do we usually do with prayer? We fit prayer in between this Bible study and I'm driving on the road to go to this counseling, mm-hmm. right? And he said, no, you honor God with that time. Give Him those moments. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really good as well.
Yep, that's good.
That leads us into our final point. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty good. And I'm going to say it like this. These were my words, so don't get on Jonathan. You can get on me. I just wrote down, be you, not MacArthur. And what do I mean by that? You could put any pastor's name right there, honestly. Yeah. Yeah. But what do I mean? Hey, God gave you a personality. God gave you desire. God wants to use you in your ministry. You don't have to be somebody else. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I think there's a tendency that it's almost we want to become the celebrity pastors. Mm-hmm. And we have a passion to preach. But, you know, I think what H.B. Charles said this, like, a passion to preach without the rigor to study is a love to be just, you know, applauded and entertained, mm-hmm. right? And I'm not saying don't listen to these great preachers. I think we ought to learn and we grow in their ways, but we're not puppets. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for us to really, you know, it's not a prideful thing to assess your skill set and what God has given you, strength and ability and skill set that's different mm-hmm. from other preachers. I don't think it's a prideful thing. I think it's a helpful way as we think how we can best minister at the best of our ability, you know, or the flock that God has entrusted us. You know, so it's important for us to really know our voice, know our skill, know our passion, because that's where I think, you know, God allows us to really exponentially just grow as His child, His follower.
Yeah. And I know from my own experience, whenever I was learning how to preach and I was trying to be someone I wasn't, mm-hmm. there was no power in that message, right? But whenever I just sat back and said, okay, God, you use me, you play me as whatever instrument, you play me like an instrument, that's when God uses us, right? So we have on this point, we want to add to this also. Mm-hmm. There's this feeling, I see it mostly in Southern Baptist kind of churches and things, but it's in other camps as well, to where we want to join a group, a camp. So I want to be reformed, right? Mm-hmm. And I am reformed and you should be reformed. You have to be careful as a pastor, because what you're going to do is you're going to push people away from you. You alienate people whenever you claim a certain camp or a certain group. You can be a reformed pastor. You can even teach that in a discipleship, you know, time, or you can be more Arminian without having to shove it down someone's throat and tell them how wrong they are if they're not like you. So those go together, right? You don't have to be someone else, and someone else doesn't have to be you. God uses a lot of different instruments to further His will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, like when we talk about that, it's kind of like, you know, from a previous episode, on, you know, episode 18, talking about how do we disagree about theological differences? I think that was just a helpful podcast. So if you haven't listened to it, go ahead and, you know, take a look at that. As you think through, what are some things that we can help people decipher through some of these issues, you know, different denominational lines, I think that'd be helpful as well. But just really understand, okay, where, what does scripture say, and how can we implement this culture? How can we utilize the never-changing gospel in this ever-changing culture, right? Because there has to be missional engagement, and that's part of what we're calling people to. Not just this casual isolation, separatist mentality that we're going to create this little holy hub, you know, just a kind of like a Mennonite, maybe like we're just our own little camp. We're independent fundamentalist Baptist kind of mentality, and we're not going to do anything with our neighbor. That's odd.
Yeah. Right?
And so you got to think through, okay, what are we thinking through from historical lens, church history and historical theology, and then scripture, right? As we think through some of those.
There's a Dr. Seuss book that I think of whenever we talk about this, and I can't remember the exact wording, but there's these like characters, and some have like marks, stars, and some don't. Mm-hmm. We become, and that's how they decided to divide the ones with stars and the ones that don't, right? And they start dividing based on how they look and things. Mm-hmm. We have this natural desire to divide as humans, but God calls us to unity.
Yes.
Right. So we need to work towards that.
Yeah. And I think naturally, again, I was reading 1 Peter 2. The tendency for naturally is that we slander one another. Mm-hmm. We do gossip. We do become quarrelsome. And that's where we have to help one another to grow in unity. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, like from last episode that we had, you know, in the essentials, unity, in the non-essential, liberty, and all things, charity.
Mm-hmm.
That we need to have. So that's what we're saying, you know, as we're thinking about, you know, BU, not MacArthur or Piper or R.C. Sproul
or Chandler or any of them.
You know, Chandler or Platt, you know, and all these guys I highly respect.
Yeah, they're great.
They're great. But again, constantly look to the Word of God and, you know, as your source, you know, because these celebrity pastors are not Jesus, right? You know, and something we can put them like in mm-hmm. that place, and we become more about them rather than conforming more in the likeness of Christ.
That's good.
And so that's where we need to be reminded. And then the other side, denominational lines or certain theological groups that we identify that becomes actually divisive and doesn't really unite the people of God. And then the world was seeing like, well, do I really want to be part of that? You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, so if we highlight these back through, here's what we talked about today. Relationship over sermons. Focus on those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Family first, then ministry. Your family matters more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Assume less, communicate more, and work on your leadership skills.
Mm-hmm.
Spend time in prayer. Just be alone with God. And then you be you. You do you, as they say. Don't try to be someone else. Let God use you. That's five pretty solid bits of information, man.
Yeah, and man, we went through real fast, but I hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you really enjoyed it, go ahead. If you could share via social media and so forth, and you can go on iTunes and give us a 5-star review. That would be fantastic. If you want more information about our podcast, go ahead and check it out, jonathanhayashi.com/podcast. If you want to follow us on Twitter, go ahead at twitter.com/BrandonBoltner, and then myself, twitter.com/JonathanHayashi.
Yeah, and Jonathan, he told you that he's going towards Kansas City and I'm towards St. Louis, but we're still talking about how we can continue to make these podcasts. So if these have been helping your life, let us know. Encourage us along this path. We need encouragement just like anybody else.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for a good word, and hope you guys have a blessed week.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Ciao.